Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to the PHNX Suns post-game show brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a five-star review. I'm Lindsay Smith here with Saul Bookman. Gerald Bourget will join us shortly. And unfortunately, the Phoenix Suns fall to the Dallas Mavericks in game four, 111-101, and now the series is tied 2-2. Saul, how are you feeling?
I'm trying to remain as calm as possible. That was rough on many different levels. And it sucks when you feel like, listen, one thing that I'm never, ever going to do is say that external factors have much of an impact on a game. But I will say this, for the first time in probably my entire life, I felt like the Suns were absolutely taken out of the game from the jump, and it wasn't because of their own doing, and which we'll get into here in a second.
Well, let's get into it. Take us to the bar, Saul. What are we drinking tonight?
We're getting the whistleblower whiskey right here, because I mean. Listen, across social media, you know, one thing that I like to do is kind of take the pulse on whether or not, as a fan, we are being overly critical of the refs, or if we have if our pulse is right, or if we're just being fans and we're upset, like Mavericks fans were upset in games one and two because they felt like the whistles are going their way. I will say this: even the most objective observer could sit here and watch this game and say, holy crap, the Suns are getting absolutely obliterated by the refs right now. You had everybody from Jamel Hill to Shannon Sharp and dozens.
Bayless.
I mean, dozens across social, like notable people that are like, man, this game is being ruined by the refs right now. And it was a fact. I mean, you go all the way back from the first Booker jumper where he gets hit, gets fouled, and on his follow-through, he makes contact with Powell's head. And not only does he get a whistle blown on him, but he gets a technical. Why a tech? Of all things, why a tech? Why not just a flagrant one if it was that egregious? I don't understand where that came from. And then that just kind of set the tone. And James Williams, first of all, the fact that James Williams is an NBA official is a travesty. It's horrendous. Every time he blew the whistle in the first half, he was basically positioned right there by the Mavericks sideline, who's standing up the entire game, hooting and hollering, getting really loud every single time they thought they saw something, and he fell for it every single time. He blew the whistle on flops. Luka flopped so many times. And you know what's so crazy is that when the game started, Luka goes full bore into DeAndre Ayton and loses the ball. And DA had great positioning, didn't move, stood there like a statue, got hit, and he flopped on the ground like somebody just sniped him from the 200 level. And then he got a tech right after that. And from that point on, it was everything favorable for the Mavs. Everything. So it's like, Luka got a T really quick, and even Richard Jefferson and Jones were on the call talking about how, you know, he needs to calm down because, you know, he's letting his emotions get the best of him. To me, I feel like Luka played the refs perfectly. He played the refs perfectly. He got them on his side, and from that point on, it was all Mavs calls from that point. It was terrible. Awful.
Yeah, he came out real physical, and the Suns paid the price for it today. So we got a couple super chats. Elon, thank you for your super chat. They said, Elon here, the refs need to be investigated. We have another super chat from Psycho Blue. Thank you for your super chat. They say, so the exact quote you guys had was, what else can the basketball do to us? Today they said, challenge accepted, hashtag rally the valley. I don't recall saying that, but if we did, then we did. And here's the thing. I'm not going to say that the refs were the only reason why the Suns lost this game, and we can get into that a little bit later, but I will say they are making, and it's not even just today's game. It is the playoffs in general, even in games where the Suns aren't participating. They are making it unenjoyable to watch basketball, and that's the worst part about this. And Saul, you were mentioning, you know, the amount of prominent people within like the sports space talking about this game specifically, because this is the one that's on today, of course, and all eyeballs were on this matchup. But just talking about how this is bad for the league, this is not fun basketball. If this is the way that the NBA is going to get to start going, like, this is going to ruin the game for a lot of people. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to go deep off the end into conspiracy theories, but we saw a lot of people being like, this is rigged. There's no way that this is how an NBA playoff game should be officiated. And I think that's just the worst part. I mean, listen, Chris Paul, for the first time in his career ever, had four fouls before halftime or by halftime. The first time ever, and he's 37 years old. Like, that's not playoff basketball, and it's not the way that playoff basketball should be officiated. Everybody since I have been alive has talked about how basketball, when we hit the playoffs, the whistles slow down. It's a more physical game. Like, you got to play a little bit harder, a little more tough. And I haven't seen that at all this playoffs, at all.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are upset right now. I'm looking at the chat right now, and there's people that are upset. You know, people want me to say that it's rigged and all this other stuff. It's hard to tell if games are rigged or not. Like, like in hindsight, the Donaghy stuff, like, yeah, that was rigged, obviously. Like, but you know, in the moment, you just don't know. And like, so I don't like to ever go down that road, because it's impossible to prove until way, way after the fact. So, but what I will say is this, is that the fact that the Suns could never get into a rhythm was largely in part because of the refs' constant whistleblowing against them. And the other thing is like the consistency of all this. I don't understand. If you're going to call Devin Booker for a technical on a follow through after he gets fouled by Powell, then why doesn't he get the same courtesy later on in the game when he goes to the basket and gets smacked in the head? Basically the same thing. What's the difference? The consistency here, right? Like, it was just so wildly all over the place. At the end of the game, and ESPN didn't even show the replay of it, and I'd love to see the replay, but Devin Booker gets by Luka, and his arm comes up. Luka's not dumb. Luka knows he has the refs in his pocket at this point. As long as his arm comes close, and because of the angle that the ref had, all Luka had to do was just throw his head back, and the ref was going to make the call. And that's exactly what happened, made the call. And it didn't even look like his elbow came anywhere close to Luka's face. And I don't even know if he even made contact with him. These are the things that frustrate fans. And even objectively speaking, I've watched Luka before. And the reason why I'm not a big fan of Luka Doncic is because all game long, for as great and as brilliant as he is on the offensive side of the ball, he's equally as great and as annoying at flopping. He just is. And I thought we had gotten, I thought we started to get away from this. I thought there was a point of emphasis in the league that if you flop, then that's a T, or you get warnings, like things of that nature to stop people from flopping. It was basically the Manu Ginobili rule. because he used to do that all the time. And now it's like, okay, well, this is part of the game now. And I don't like it. I don't like it because it stops the flow. I don't want to watch a whole bunch of whistles being blown. I don't want to see fucking dudes taking free throws all game long. I want to see basketball, and I want these dudes to ball out. And the other part of this is like, I very much would rather it be like, if you wouldn't make the call at the gym, right? If Luka was playing against Devin Booker one-on-one at the gym and he wouldn't make that call, then why are we making this call in the NBA? Like, just ball out, go. But hey, listen, the player's going to take advantage of the refs as much as possible. And the Suns, to their credit, they didn't do much flopping. Chris Paul didn't even get demonstrative tonight when he got some of his calls. I think some of them he realized, like, yeah, I fouled him, or yeah, I did that. But maybe the Suns just need to, hell, if Devin Booker would have rolled around on the ground, writhing in pain, holding his face when he got hit in the head, I wonder if the refs would have gone back, reviewed it, maybe teed him up after the fact, or what? I don't know.
I don't know. I saw a lot of people talking about how they think that tech on Book is probably going to get rescinded later on. Yeah. But to your point with the flopping, even Shannon Sharp said, and he prefaced the tweet, Luka is my guy, but he's flopping like a fish out of water. This is ridiculous. And like, I'm not going to say that he shouldn't do it ever, because it's a part of the game that is a part of the game, whether you like it or not. It sometimes works in your favor. And if you're not going to do it, then you kind of got, and people talk about this about the Suns all the time. And you just mentioned it. Like, if Devin would have acted like he was in so much pain, could he have gotten a call for that? Potentially. People on Suns Twitter are constantly talking about how sometimes the Suns need to sell it more because they just don't. They don't do that very often. But I think there is a line of when it just becomes a little overboard, and it's like, okay, this is not enjoyable. Like, let's calm down just for 5 seconds here.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and in the chat, like, a bunch of people are talking about it. Hey, listen, I think it is fair to a degree to say that CP3 does the exact same thing when he gets into the flow, right? He's able to bait calls. He's able to do a lot of that stuff. It's just the inconsistency across the board, not even just Luka. Jalen Brunson got calls. Other dudes, Powell was getting calls. Like, it wasn't just one person. Luka is the main culprit, yes, but the entire Mavs team was flopping, getting calls, throwing their head back as if they just got punched by Mike Tyson in the 7th round. Like, it's inexplicable. And I actually, and for my screenshot, I actually have a screenshot that I saw on Twitter about one of the refs' main performances in home games, and it is just egregious. And I don't know, the NBA, listen, the NBA has just got to clean this up. I don't think this is necessarily anything that they're going to have to look into at great length, but I will say that these refs will get reviewed. And I think James Williams specifically is going to have a lot of questions to answer based on his own performance, because it was piss poor.
All right. We have a super chat from Manuel. Thank you so much for your super chat. They said, I'm going to be the annoyingly positive person and say we had to play like crap for 2 games, have the refs in their back pocket, and make 23s just to tie up the series. We'll come back strong in the desert. I appreciate your positivity. I also, so says Jay, who's been a longtime supporter of the program on Twitter tonight, he changed his name on Twitter to like positivity only and was trying really hard to be positive throughout this whole game. I appreciate you guys for that, because it was really hard to find any positive points in this game. And we always try to at least find a silver lining if there is one. This one just kind of sucked altogether. But I do agree that the Suns, we ain't done yet. You know what I mean? Like, we ain't finished yet. There is definitely a chance for the Suns to be able to come back home, pick up Game 5, and then go back to Dallas, pick up Game 6. Or, God forbid, if this has to go to a 7-game series, I still have faith that the Suns will be able to pull this one off. But it just sucks. Today is just like, we're trying to be positive as much as we can. But here's the thing, like, I'm upset. And I think that we're all allowed to be a little bit upset after this type of a performance, both Friday night's game and today's game, because it's just like I want to feel like they're just as angry as I am. You know what I mean? I want to feel like the energy coming through the TV is the same energy we all have when we're cheering on this team. That's the thing.
Yeah. And hopefully Gerald will shed some more light on the Suns' frustrations with the refs and basically the overall two-game set in Dallas, which I'm looking forward to. I have a lot of questions for Gerald, including why we still cannot see Aaron Holiday get some minutes, you know, but we'll get into that. The other part of this is just like it's hard to assess where the Suns are right now, to be honest with you. Like, yeah, today, for example, like even or if you take the refs out of the picture, right, the Suns still, I mean, the Mavs shot the lights out from three in the first half. You know what I mean? And they did enough in the second half. Shooting wise to really put the Suns away. So you do have to give them, you know, some credit for that, obviously, but like, I don't know what I can believe in right now. Is it the Mavs that typically can shoot like this, or is it they got into a good flow because at every breaking point, there was a whistle that went their way. Is it their defense that's phenomenal on the other end? Because all of a sudden the Suns can't score for shit. And they're struggling scoring. Mikal Bridges is MIA. Cam Johnson's hit or miss. Campaign is basically not even on the team right now. I don't even know what's going on with him. I don't know what to believe from this two-game series because the refs had such a dominant part of this two-game set. So there's a lot of soul searching that's going to go on. I'm telling you what, right now, like I'm concerned. I'm concerned about this series now. I was not concerned two games ago, and it's not just because we were up 2-0. It's just because I felt like we had a really good matchup with the Mavs. But all of a sudden, things have turned a little bit. The Mavs definitely have a lot of confidence now after two games. They got to come back to Phoenix. They're gonna throw everything they possibly can and more at the Suns in Game 5 because they know that if they could possibly steal one on the road in Game 5.
That's huge.
So, and the Suns have to come out with the same kind of desperation that they had when they were tied 2-2 with the Pelicans on Tuesday, which I want to say I'm confident that they will. I was confident that they would come in today and have that gas, but the refs kind of took that out of them. So I don't know what to think.
All right, we have a couple more super chats, and then I want to go back to your topic of the Mavs shooting. So Victor and Stephanie, thank you for your super chat. They said, let's be positive. Game 5, the frustration of these games is killing us. We're an amazing team, and trust me, we will see our team come out strong after this. And then we had another super chat from Taboo's Tidbits. Thank you. They said, Bridges is non-existent offensively. Make or miss, he has to shoot with confidence. Game 5 is a must win. I agree with both of those comments. Thank you guys for sending them. Oh, we got another one from Elon. Says, Elon here, Suns can't lose to Shark Tank Mark. Fair.
That's true.
But Saul, I do want to go back to the Mavs shooting. So the Mavs went 13 for 39 on Friday night. And tonight they had 12 3-point buckets midway through the second quarter on 19 attempts. And then they finished 20 for 44. The Suns gave up the most playoff opponent threes in team history tonight. I personally don't think that the Mavs are that good of a 3-point shooting team. I think for tonight specifically, our defense was atrocious. It did not look like the Suns' top three defense that we've seen all season. And I think part of it had to do with hustle, and part of it had to do with the strategy coming in that we were seeing defensively from the team. And I just don't think it was working, and I don't think we pivoted quick enough.
No, listen, the Mavs are in the Suns' heads a little bit when it comes to their offense. They're going five. They're spreading out five across the perimeter, and then they're going one-on-one with Luka when the opportunity presents itself, and then Luka's looking to make those plays. And then the supporting cast is actually coming through, and they're hitting shots. You know, Finney Smith was unbelievable today. He had a phenomenal game today. And we talked about, like, if Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic can hold serve and do their, you know, their whatever their floor is, if they can just produce their floor and others have great games, then that gives them a chance. And that's exactly what happened today. Even Davis Bertans when he came in. He crushed his first four threes, just, and they were nothing but net, every single one of them. My guy came in for 5 minutes, hit four threes, and then didn't see the court again for like another 20 minutes. Like, I don't even understand how that happens. Like, it's just, and Monty's, listen, the Suns were closing out really, really hard, but almost too hard at times, and they were leaving themselves exposed on the perimeter because of ball rotations and people having to compensate for being out of position. And the Suns have just got to clean it up. They're in a battle right now.
Gosh, we have so many angry Mavs fans in our comments right now. I'm kind of surprised. I thought you guys would be all celebrating with your own people, but thanks for the engagement. Really appreciate it. Happy to have you here. Welcome.
For sure. we were dogging the Mavs fans.
Absolutely. So come on, you can do the same thing. It's totally fine. Like, it's only fair.
Yeah, I don't even care. Like, that's cool. You guys are in our mentions. You guys are all, you know, like, oh, you guys are gonna lose. Okay, cool. I mean, it's a 2-2 series. I'm still not worried that we're going to lose this series. And if somehow, some way we did, then okay, cool. Do you feel better about yourself? All right, go back to your,
you know, a lot of people are complaining about our conversations around the refs today, obviously more so on the Mav side of things. And they were saying y'all weren't complaining in game two when the officiating was just as bad. And if you go back and you watch, we actually were complaining. Because even though it was bad on both sides, it was still terrible officiating. And we did complain about that because of the same reasons we're complaining tonight. It makes the game unenjoyable. It's not as fun to watch. Whether you are a Suns fan or a Mavs fan or whoever is playing the game, if the officiating is bad, it's bad. And it's not fun basketball. Like, period. Yeah. End of discussion.
Yeah.
All right. Saul. What else did you see tonight from the Suns that you think needs to be cleaned up before game five?
Well, you know, like we talked about before the game, I needed some guys that were kind of missing in action to step up. And one of those guys is Mikal Bridges. And Mikal Bridges has not had a good, you know, everybody's going to talk about Chris Paul not having two good games in Dallas. Like, Mikal Bridges, I would argue, had an equally lackluster effort in two games in Dallas. He did not shoot the ball very well at all. Defensively, he got taken advantage of a couple times, and it's just uncharacteristic of Mikal to be had like that. And, you know, and they had to switch off Mikal and put him on Brunson. So that way, they could have a bigger physical guy like Jay Crowder and the mismatch. I think the person that probably played Luka the best defensively all day in a single possession was DeAndre Ayton. On that one possession where he basically circled Luka around the block over and over again, and then blocked his shot out of bounds. Like, I thought that was the best one-on-one individual performance on Luka of the weekend. But they're just struggling. They are just really struggling right now to figure out where their weak points are that they can kind of take advantage of in terms of the Mavericks, because right now the Mavericks are shooting the ball very well. And when the team's shooting the ball as well as the Mavericks are, it makes it harder to kind of take risks and put yourself out of position just slightly, because we saw it multiple times, just the slightest hesitation. And then guys couldn't get over to that corner to defend the three. And that's where the Mavs kept attacking over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need everybody on this team to really step up. And listen, we could go down the list if we wanted to, but I don't really want to. I don't want to go down the list of every single player on this team who needs to step up and who and which way from left to right. But as a whole, I think it's safe to say that everyone on this team has to step up if they want to be successful in this series and get the win of this series. So that just absolutely has to happen. I also think the Suns are they're not shooting very well either, especially in these last two games. So Matt Peterson on Twitter, he's a big time Suns fan. You guys should probably know of him, said Suns shooting from between the restricted area and 3-point arc short mid range in games one and two, they were 45 for 79, which is 57%. Games three and four, 21 for 65, which is just over 32%. And we've been talking for a while, like that's the Suns' bread and butter. And if they can't knock those down, they're going to have a really hard time winning games when they're shooting like that from an area that they are notoriously really good at. So the shot just got to fall.
They just got to fall. And sometimes it's home cooking. You know, we talked about that before game three, is that, you know, the Mavs are back in their familiar setting, back home. They know their spots. They know, you know, what makes them feel comfortable out there. And they have the fans behind them. And they came through. They held serve. I think, you know, I'll say this in retrospect. I was probably a little foolish to just completely dismiss the Mavs as if they were some has-been or some wannabe. Because I just didn't think they were that good, but they're playing good enough to win these games. And and sometimes, you know what? Hey, I'll take my medicine when it's necessary. I'll take it right now. It's okay. But that doesn't mean that I don't think the Suns won't win the series, because I feel like they will. But they've got to get right in game five.
Yeah, they got to have a come to Jesus moment. That's for sure.
CP3, and this is my concern about CP3. Here, I'll say this right now. My concern with CP3 is not that you're not going to get those performances like we saw in game two or anything like that. That's not my concern. My concern is are you going to get enough consistent performances from CP3 in order to really be a threat to win a championship? That's my concern, because for every good game CP3 has had in the playoffs, he's had, you know, a drop off either the next game or in a couple games thereafter. And that's what my fear is. And so in those games, everybody else has to step up, and that hasn't happened. It didn't happen in the Pelican series. It's not happening in this series. So when is that trend going to stop? And Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and Cam Payne are three of the main ones that are going to have to help it stop. And they just have not come up big at all.
We got another super chat from Victor and Stephanie. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. They said, hate on us if you want. Suns are never going to quit, with a purple heart emoji. Appreciate that from you guys. I feel like I need to address a lot of the Mavs fans in the comments, and I'm not really, I know I shouldn't, but whatever. I'm going to do that. They're saying that I said the Mavs aren't a good three-point shooting team. I said I don't think that they're capable of shooting this good. Let me clarify what I meant to say, if that's what I actually did say. I know the Mavs are a good three-point shooting team. They're right there, one spot ahead of the Suns this season, the regular season, as far as three-point percentage goes. I got that. But against the Suns team.
But the Suns aren't a good three-point shooting team either.
So when I looked it up for this regular season, statistically speaking, 3-point percentage, the Mavs are in fifth. They're tied for fourth, actually, with 37.6%. Suns are in sixth, 36.5. What I was saying is, comparatively speaking, as far as this between the Suns and the Mavs, if the Suns played defense like we saw them play defense all season long, I don't think that Dallas can shoot as well as it did tonight from deep, as well as it did Friday night from deep. But we're seeing that the Suns aren't playing defense like they know how to play defense. And especially with that 3-point line, like, they are just leaving so many shots wide open. And yes, the Mavs are going to take advantage of that. But I'm talking about defensively with this Suns team. If they played up to their standards of defense, I don't think the Mavs would shoot as well as they're shooting currently against this team that we're talking about now.
I mean, they were shooting 69% in the first half from three. They were 12 of 18 at one point in the first half. That's an anomaly. That just doesn't happen. That's almost double their percentage. Like, it's okay to say that while acknowledging that the Mavs are a decent three-point shooting team, but also acknowledging that they had a phenomenal performance in the first half shooting the three. 20 threes in the NBA is not an easy thing to do.
No.
And it's okay to say that. So if people are getting offended, Lindsay, just ignore them. They're whatever. They got their heads up there. You know what's.
We got another super chat from Manny. He said, these Mavs fans about to get slapped with our
curve. Just bring that same energy if you guys lose the series. Just bring that same energy if you guys lose the series, like, for real.
Yeah, just come through later on. We'll see you. All right. So you want to name our Draft King of the game?
Well, you know, it's a lone bright spot on this beautiful Sunday day where, you know, there wasn't many bright spots. But, hey, you know what? Let's give it to the moms. How about that?
Yep.
Moms are the king of the game. happy Mother's Day to all the fantastic moms out there, even the Mavericks fans. Happy Mother's Days to your beautiful families and the ones that kind of hold it down and make things go in the household. We all came from one, and I love mine, and I know you love yours, Lindsay. And
yeah,
it's a good day to celebrate the people that we love,
Absolutely. And we got to give some flowers to all of the mothers out there. So happy Mother's Day to all of you. Make sure if you have not called or texted your mom yet, be sure to do that before the day is over. All right, guys, NBA playoffs, we're in the thick of it. It might be a little bit rough, but here's the thing. You could potentially make some money by betting on games with the DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. And this week, new customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. And then if you hit there, you can leverage that $150 in free bets and hopefully even more cash for your pockets. And if you're also looking to create your own parlay, you can combine multiple bets, like which team will win, total threes made, total rebounds, and more. And then you have a shot at an even bigger payout. And right now, all customers can place a same game parlay with three or more legs and get a free bet back up to $25 if one leg does not hit. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use promo code PHNX, bet $5 on any NBA team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's promo code PHNX, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Just a reminder, that is 21 and older only, Arizona only. Gambling problem, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. New customers only, minimum $5 minimum deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
I can't get over this. I can't get over this chat right now. This chat is off the hook. I mean, there's Mavs fans right now that are like, you guys were all talking shit after game one and two, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, we were talking shit.
The same way you're talking shit right now after game three and four. That's what we do.
You look like trash. And then we look like trash. That's okay. All right.
How this works.
I mean, Jesus, it's all right. Listen, people, listen, it's Mother's Day, okay? Take your foot off the gas a little bit and make sure you don't say anything that if you couldn't show your mom, she wouldn't be proud of, okay? How about that? Just today.
Just go ask your mama for a hug. It's okay to need a hug.
God help the loser of game five.
Lord. Oh,
that's going to be brutal for whoever loses game five. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. I appreciate Super White Shadow in the comment. He was being super gentle with it. Says, sons are poop. So okay. It was very, very PG, jab right there. That was cute. No. Oh, my gosh. All right, Saul. You ready for some screenshots?
Let's do it.
Okay, it's time for some screenshots presented by Arizona Department of Health Services. COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov for a near you. Saul, you want to start this one?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, there was a statistic that came out on Kane Fitzgerald, who's one of the officials today, and his stats on refereeing home games. And it is appalling. My guy has a home team win-loss split of 41-14. 41-14.
Which is crazy.
Home teams against the spread are 34-21-0. That is so crazy. The score differential, 8 points. I get that the officials are human, but they're getting played right now. They really are. They got played by the Mavericks today. I don't know if I necessarily agree with the officials maybe getting played in game three. But I know certainly when Luka's running down the court and he's throwing up the money sign, like the Suns paid off the refs for whatever reason, that's just not accurate at all. Like, even a casual observer wouldn't say that. Today, casual observers are like, damn, the Suns got absolutely obliterated by the refs today. Like, what's going on with it? Like, I try my very best to not come from a biased approach when it comes to the referees. There's been times, hell, in the Pelicans series, there's a lot of people that were complaining about the refs, letting the Pelicans be physical. And even me, in one of those games, I was like, I get everybody's upset, but that wasn't the only reason why they lost. Tonight, I feel like it was about 80% the reason why the Suns lost, and the other 20% was just the Mavs shooting very well and the Suns not being able to hit buckets when they needed to.
I don't know if I'm at a full 80-20. I think I might be more or closer to like somewhere between 60-40, 70-30, because it was ridiculous officiating. But I also think that let's be honest, like our new friend in the chat said, the Suns played like poop tonight.
Yeah.
They did. You know what I mean? And credit to them, though, for at least being semi-close in this game at times, considering how poorly they did play to our standards. Yeah. But I feel like this team just has to really take it personally from top to bottom. Every single one of them has to take ownership of their game and this series and take things personally like they had all season long. And whatever it is, find a way to fight through it, find a way to just whatever you need to do in order to get back to you controlling the game, you focusing on the things that you have control over and not allowing other people or outside factors get into your way. But it's still bad officiating.
I will also say, like somebody in the chat, Luis Mendez, who's a Dallas Cowboys fan, which, you know, whatever the Mavericks are drinking in Dallas, clearly the Cowboys are not. So is this Mavs defense going to get any credit? You know what, Luis? You're absolutely right.
And we did give them credit on Friday as well.
The Mavs have absolutely stepped up their defensive performance in games 3 and 4, without a doubt. Like that, even Luka has played better defensively in these last two games. But the crazy thing was that after game one, Luka said, and he vowed that the Mavs would not play bad defense anymore. And then in game two, he got cooked. It takes a team effort. And I feel like the Mavs have absolutely played better defense in the last two games. So that's fine. We'll give credit when we see it. Like it's we're not opposed to doing that. It's just, you know, I think it's more that the Suns are just playing poorly than the Mavs playing otherworldly.
I agree. All right. My screenshot for tonight was this gem of a tweet from Lil Wayne, said Luka ho. And here's the thing. I picked this as my screenshot because this was the only thing that made me smile and laugh tonight throughout this whole game. This was hilarious. I feel like, oh my gosh, I don't know. It's just one of those insults. It's kind of like, you know how before we started calling everybody a clown, when you called somebody a clown, it was like, ouch, that was rude. This is one of those insults for me. And I thought it was so funny. And the comments and the reactions, this was chef's kiss. So thank you, Lil Wayne, for the laugh tonight. I mean, really needed it.
I'll tell you what, man, we might need to make that a shirt. Just a screenshot of that on a shirt. Let's go.
I mean, it brought a little bit of joy in this otherwise not so joyful game. So shout out to you, Lil Wayne. Just a reminder one more time, COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov for a location near you. We got another super chat from Manuel. Said, are there even any Mavs fans? Like, for real, I think you've been paying them people in the stands and these spammers are bots, LOL. And then he followed it up with an additional chat that said, or just mad Laker fans, LOL.
I think the cool thing about this is that, you know, some of these guys, some of these people, some of these women, whoever they are in our chat and they're watching our stream and they're like, well, the Suns have a post-game show. I wish we had a post-game show. That'd be pretty dope. So why not go be trolls in their post-game show and you know, give it to the – listen, this is almost a forum for both fans. Now, obviously, we're a Suns podcast, so we're definitely going to be skewed in our views. But I have no problem having good banter back and forth when it comes to logical takes. Like, that's never been an issue, and I don't feel like it's been an issue for us. Yes, when CP3 goes off, we're probably going to glorify it more than – oh, I don't know if Luka goes off because we don't like Luka, and that's okay. That's not what we're here for. But I think we can still have good discussions back and forth and talk about like the real reasons why these two teams seemingly are flipping and flopping every two games. So game 5 is going to be very interesting. I'll tell you what, I think the Mavs are going to come out and I think they're going to play the best of the three games in Phoenix. I do believe that, but I also believe that the Suns will have an answer for some of the things that they have been deficient at these last couple games. And I just cannot believe CP3 would play as bad as he has these last two games in game five at home. I refuse to believe that that's even a possibility.
I mean, it would be a shock because we haven't seen him have, you know, consecutive games in a row like this where he has struggled quite a bit. So I think it would be surprising based off of just his track record since he's been here in Phoenix. And hopefully that is the case, Saul, and he doesn't play as badly as he has in these last two games. Mm-hmm. We got another super chat from Everything Horror. Thank you. Said Mavs had the scariest mascot with Mavs man, Ugly AF. I'm going to need to look this up because I'm not getting a mental picture of what this is. So we got to see what that is. And then
there's another one too.
Yep. Morton.
Skill bread. Yo, Monty must exploit DA more inside versus the Mavs. You know, I was hoping DA was going to have a big game.
Same.
Man, I felt like early on he couldn't get his rhythm going, but I felt like he started to pick it up a little bit in the second half. But again, you know, there was times where there was multiple times DA flashed in the middle, was wide open. They didn't give him the ball. They swung it around the perimeter, and then he ended up taking a fourth shot or missed a bucket or whatever. Like, DA has had opportunities to get the ball. They just haven't given him the ball. And it's a theme with this team. It's an absolute theme. And Monty, I'll tell you what, you know, whether they pay this guy or not in the offseason, Monty is going to have to answer for that at some point. Like, he just is. You know, I know he likes to talk about, well, you know, he's a good team player and he likes to defer and blah blah blah. But there was times in that second half where I felt like DA was kind of done with it, done with the way the Suns were kind of playing and wanted the ball and couldn't get the ball. There was also a time where I think it was Cam Johnson had the ball free throw line, wide open, hesitated. Campaign is wide open in the corner, and Campaign had just made a layup, and Campaign was wide open. Cam Johnson ended up throwing up a little floater, came up short, barely even grazed the front of the rim. It was like an 8-footer, and he missed it badly. And Campaign and him got into it on the court. Like, bro, I'm wide open. Pass the ball. Make the good basketball decision, especially when you pass up a wide open shot and then air ball. Basically a midi. So it's just that's what tells me that this team is out of sync. They don't trust each other right now, or certain players don't trust each other right now. They got to work through that. Trust the process, trust what got them here, and they'll be fine. And you know, this is a big test for them.
Okay. So Shane just found Jesus. The Mavs man. that's the chat was talking about. That is super creepy.
That is. Oh, cringe.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. That's terrifying. If you're listening to this on audio and you don't have a mental picture like I didn't, disclaimer, if you go look it up. So that's your you're doing that on your own free will. We have another super chat from Rob. Said, thanks for the engagement, Mavs fans. Retweet that. I appreciate it. Yeah,
hit that thumbs up button, huh? Please.
Yeah, make sure you hit the like button. You can subscribe if you want, at least through this series. It's totally up to you. We're happy to have you here. Gerald is setting up right now, so he's going to be joining us, and he talked with Monty and a few of the players, so it'll be exciting to hear what Gerald has to say about this one. And in the meantime, we'll take a quick break so I can tell you about OG's brand. So right now, you can stop by your local dispensary and grab some amazing scratch-made THC gummies from our friends at OG's. They also just announced that they have their new mini OG's 3-milligram microdose options for those who may not be wanting to dive right into their regular 10-milligram options. You can try the tropical flavor in either the sativa or the indica strains. And those mini OGs are available right now exclusively at Zen Leaf locations through May 11th. So if you want to get your hands on some, now is a great time to hit up Zen Leaf and find those mini OGs out there. But if you're interested in trying the amazingly delicious variety of flavors that OG's brands has to offer, and you just want to get a little more information or find one near you, go to ogsbrands.com. That's OGEEZ brands.com to find OG's near you. All right, so while we're waiting for Gerald to get set up, Is there a positive that you can pull out of tonight's game? Is there any single thing that you can point to that you're to? This could be a silver lining, or I wasn't mad at this.
I wasn't mad that Devin Booker probably looked the most like Devin Booker in the last four games today. Yeah, I thought, you know, he looked like he had more explosion going to the basket. You know, he was finishing at the rim. He wasn't afraid of contact. You know, he was shooting the ball pretty well. Like, I liked Devin Booker's game today. I wish he would have been actually more assertive in the fourth quarter. I felt like he was deferring to other people a little too much. At that point, I felt like we definitely needed a Kobe or Michael experience. We needed somebody to take over the game because we were getting close. You know, we were cutting the lead down, you know, to 7, to 6, to 8, to 4. Mm-hmm. It was 4 at one point. And then we were at 6 at one point, and then Finney Smith just went on this 8-point barrage on his own, and basically that was game after that, you know what I mean? And so they were so close. We needed somebody just to take, you know, that extra step and either tie the game or give us a 1-point lead. And I felt like if we would have tied it, I feel like the Mavs might have tightened up. But you got to give the Mavs credit. Even when they cut the lead from 17 to 4, they still held it together and got the dub. So, you know, I think that's the biggest thing I take away from it.
Gerald's here.
Hi, everybody. How you guys doing?
We're doing better than the chat is right now, because the chat is mixed with not only disgruntled Suns fans, which understandably so, but also shit-talking Mavs fans who have joined the fray. They have found the PHNX Suns broadcast, and they are all about it today.
They're so spicy.
They are spicy.
Welcome, new friends.
Gerald, go ahead. Gerald, we got to talk about the elephant in the room, obviously, with the refs and the officiating. Probably, you know, objectively speaking, probably some of the worst basketball in terms of flow. And just questionable calls overall that I've seen in quite a while. What were the players and maybe Coach Monty's take on the officiating tonight?
Yeah, we asked Monty whether he thought the officiating kind of got under the Sun's skin or took them out of it a little bit. And he said, you could definitely make that case. I think all the players and coaches were in agreement that, you know, it was bad and it was hard to establish a flow. But it wasn't the reason that they lost this game. And I think all of us would agree with that as well. Devin Booker said he's played in over 500 games at this point in his career, and he's never played in one that felt like that in terms of how disjointed it was, you know, flops being rewarded, you know, getting a technical call on him on a play that he was fouled on. You know, I asked him about that, the explanation, and what he got was that he flailed his arm on the follow through, and that's what got him the tech. And somebody followed up, is that the first time you've ever seen someone get a tech for a play they were fouled on? He said, yeah, pretty much. Like, he's never seen that.
Why wasn't that a flagrant one instead of a tech? Why was it a tech?
I don't know. I think it probably should have been, but I think they just didn't want to go back and review it. So they just went with a tech because they thought it was purposeful or something. But I don't understand the minutia, and it doesn't make sense, that distinction there. But yeah, it was a poorly officiated game, and I think Mavs fans can agree, like, it was poorly officiated on both sides. There were some flops and some plays that were questionable, calls that were questionable, and it was rough, and it definitely impacted the Suns more, because obviously when you don't have Chris Paul I think he played 4 minutes the second half, like, that makes a big difference. Jay Crowder said they kind of missed his ability to settle them down, to, you know, call out the right plays that are going to, you know, be able to capitalize against the Mavs, especially when they kept chipping away and it felt like there was an opening there. Having a guy like Chris who's able to dictate the offense in that way hurt them. And, you know, the ball just wasn't moving the way that it normally does with him out there.
So we spent a good amount of time, obviously, talking about the officiating of this game. And for everyone in the chat asking why we're not talking about officiating in game 1 and 2, that's because we did that back when game 1 and 2 actually happened. So if you want to hear that, go watch those streams from those games. But Gerald, just what did you see as far as what the Suns didn't necessarily bring to the table or weren't able to accomplish tonight?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the biggest thing is the 3-point defense. Jay Crowder had said, you know, there's been gaps in our defense. Like, and Booker mentioned the way that they're spreading the floor right now, they're kind of dictating it. And Crowder said, like, we need to dictate the shots that they're getting. They're getting a lot of corner threes. They've been really good about generating those in this series and knocking them down. There were a couple plays there where it felt like the Suns were getting close in that fourth quarter and they might have a chance. And then back-to-back corner threes, you know, with DA helping in the middle there, swing to the corner. The Mavs have been really specific about targeting him when he's the low man there in that way. And, you know, he did a great job of holding his own in the Clippers series in a similar series like this last year. But it's been rough, and I think they were over-helping a lot tonight. You know, Crowder said it's more execution than scheme, but I do think that they were stationing guys a little too far off the ball tonight. You looked and you saw it. They were trying to close down passing lanes, but Luka's tall enough to see over those passing lanes, and he was finding guys for open threes a lot tonight. That's something they have to correct moving forward and change, because, you know, they just can't. Dorian Finney-Smith almost had as many three-pointers by himself tonight as the entire Phoenix Suns did. So the Suns have to find a way to generate more three-point attempts, and they have to find a way to limit the number that the Mavs are taking, because you just can't. That discrepancy is hard to overcome, especially when the mid-range jumpers aren't falling like they haven't been for the last two games now.
You know, Gerald, we talked a lot about just campaign overall. Mm-hmm. I texted you with frustration earlier tonight, like, what in the hell can my guy Aaron Holley just get 1 minute? 1 minute, please. You know, and I thought for sure – with Chris Paul fouling out and even picking up his fifth, that with all the available minutes, we would have seen at least a little bit of Aaron Holiday. Is there any explanation as to why we're not getting that?
Not a direct one. I kind of beat around the bush when I asked Monty about indirectly about campaign, because I meant, you know, there was that stretch where with Chris Paul in foul trouble and campaign struggling, they went with that point book lineup for a little bit. So I asked him about that, and he mentioned, you know, like campaign, he says everyone has bad games or something to that effect. And so I think that, again, we've talked about this before, but Monty's loyalty and his faith in his guys, it's what empowers them. And it can also be a detriment in a small game sample size, like a playoff series, where if a guy can't turn it around, you know, he might still stick with them anyway. So we'll see if Aaron Holiday gets any time in game five, if campaign struggles continue. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Payne back out there. And a lot of his struggles, Monty's usually chalked that up to, like, he's on the scouting report now and he's having to adjust to being planned for in a way that even last year's playoff series, teams weren't really planning for him as much. So he took a lot of them by surprise. But at a certain point, like, enough with the excuses. He's got to be better, or they've got to find a different avenue to go down. Whether that's, you know, on a night where Paul isn't in foul trouble, playing him a lot more, rolling with point book lineups, or giving Aaron Holiday a look, like, they've got to figure something out, because he's been, you know, a D plus C minus all playoffs long.
I mean, for all those single people out there, find you somebody that sticks by your side through thick and thin, like Monty sticks with campaign.
Yes. Ugh.
What would you like to see more from DA? Do you think it has to do with him needing to demand the ball more, to have more intensity, for his teammates to find him more, for Monty to call plays for him more? What are your thoughts around DA?
I think it's a combination of things. We asked Crowder about this in postgame, because he was dominant in that game one. They had no answer for him. And this was coming off a Pelican series where he did the same thing against a much bigger front line in New Orleans. So Jay Crowder was saying that the Mavs have done a good job of speeding them up a little bit and taking away that first read, with DA usually being the first read on the roll there. So it's one of those things. They have to find a way to get him more involved. He does have to be a little bit more assertive and strong with his screen setting and carving out space on his rolls. But the Suns offense, they just haven't looked like themselves on either end. And I think they're still going to get out of this series. It wouldn't surprise me if they win the next two games and it's Suns in six. But this team right now does not look ready to win a championship. Like, they don't, they're not playing the level of basketball that they will need to play to get past the Warriors or even Memphis at this point in the next round. And that's not even talking about, you know, the Bucks or the Celtics or whoever comes out of the East. Like, this team has been, I think they're 8-8 since the start of April. They haven't looked like themselves. And yes, some of that was just resting guys, but they're letting other teams dictate what they're doing. And I understand in a playoff series, you have to change things a little bit to fit your opponent, but they're not dictating the way that the games are being played. And, you know, you're hoping that with the series shifting back to Phoenix, they'll be able to figure things out again. But I'm just not getting a good feeling from the way this team is playing basketball right now.
You know, it's so funny because, Lindsay, I mean, you and I were talking about that same exact topic right before we came on. It was just like, there's just right now, I don't have a good vibe about where this Suns team is at. And I don't know. I can't really place a finger on these last two games, Gerald, and maybe you can help us out with this. Is, you know, these last two games, it's hard to dictate what is really going on. Is it the Suns just not shooting well and turning the ball over at a crazy high rate, which, you know, 17 turnovers again today, like, or is it the Mavs just, you know, their defense, the refs helping a little bit, sure. But, you know, is it the Mavs defense and strategy helping out their 3-point shooting being a little bit better? Like, what? I can't get a hold on this series right now. And it's kind of odd.
I think game three for me watching it back was an aberration as far as, okay, you can have a bad outing every once in a while. I think tonight was one of those games where Book showed up, Crowder showed up again. He's been a constant for them in this series, but they need more out of Mikal Bridges. They need more out of DA. Those are their two guys that are supposed to punish teams when they focus too much on Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And when you take Chris Paul away for all but 4 minutes in the second half, that margin for error gets even smaller. So they need more from those two guys. And they need Chris Paul to, you know, in game three, it was 8 turnovers. In game four, it was 6 fouls. They need Chris Paul to be better. Like, ever since he turned 37, like, we like 36-year-old Chris Paul a lot better than the first couple of games for 37.
37-year-old Chris Paul sucks.
It hasn't been great.
He's terrible.
And it's not dependent on any one player, because Crowder did say this is a collective thing. Like, we all need to step up. Monty mentioned it. Like, we need to take ownership, and it starts with me. You know, he mentioned making the mistake of leaving Chris Paul out there or putting him back in there near the end of the first half when he picked up his fourth foul. Those are things that he has to be better about. The Suns have to be better. And at this point in the series, a lot of it is just rising to the challenge. You know, at this point, you know the other team's plays, you know their schemes. It's a matter of execution, and their execution hasn't been great these last two games. I think they'll turn it around in front of their home crowd, but there was an air of inevitability about this Suns team during the regular season. I don't feel that way anymore. They look a lot more vulnerable and a lot less immune to anything that opponents throw at them.
Anything else stand out to you, Gerald, about this, or anything additional you'd like to share with us that the guys told you?
I need to go back and review the audio, but it sounded like when Chris Paul was there for like 2 or 3 minutes, and he looked over at Cole and said something and then got up and left. And I think he was asking, can I leave before I get fined for being asked questions about the officiating? So clearly not happy about fouling out with like 9 minutes left in a playoff game. I'll have to go back and double check to make sure, but I think that's what he was saying.
I mean, I don't blame him. I would have probably gotten fined if I were him too, but I wouldn't want to have to pay that fine because it's a hefty fee, regardless of how much money you make.
Yeah. Well, you know, Gerald, you're out in Dallas. So, like I said, go out to Deep Ellum. I said it right this time, Dallas people. Pecan Lodge. Very good barbecue. John Bloom actually was there yesterday, per my recommendation. And then he got a little 3-meat plate, came back to the hotel, and guess who was in the elevator? It was CP3. And he looked over at CP3 and he said, and I quote, "Don't worry, CP. If anybody asks me, I'll say, I ate enough meat for the both of us." So there you go. Maybe Chris Paul needed to eat a little piece of meat there, here or there, just to, you know, maybe he needs some more iron in that system or something. I don't know, man. CP's missing something, man. You hit an extra year and you start to lose like things in your body. And he's struggling.
I mean, I would hit him up and ask if he wants to go to the lodge with me, but I think they're already leaving. So next time.
Well, Gerald, thank you so much. We hope that you enjoyed your sister's wedding on Friday and Saturday.
Real quick before you leave, what are you thinking about writing tonight?
That's a good question. Probably adjustments for game five and what the Suns need to get back to. Because let's be honest, they played about as hungover as I feel right now. So not great.
All right.
That means you had a great time at the wedding.
That's right.
Phenomenal happy time for you and your family, Gerald. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. And of course, everyone listening, if you want to read the article that Gerald is going to be writing for this evening, head on over to gophnx.com and become a member today. Gerald, safe travels. We'll see you when you get back here.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Saul, anything else to put a bow on this one from you?
No, not really. Also, somebody in the chat said Goldie's is the best barbecue in Dallas. And I did see a barbecue sauce today that I was watching on Meat Church. So I might have to check that out.
Well, there you go.
It was very random. I just felt like saying that out loud.
All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate you. We're going to take tomorrow off, but we will be back on Tuesday with a pre-game show. And then, of course, our normal post-game show. So plan to join us then. Maybe just collectively log off of the internet today. Spend time with your moms, your family, and we'll get back at it tomorrow.
Also, before we go, there's a couple shout-outs I would like to make. First, Valley Tap Room. I'm making it a thing, Lindsay, that I'm going to rep local establishments that are local, like local businesses that I think are killing it out there. I walked into Valley Tap Room. It's out here off of Gilbert Road in the 202. Very dope. My guy Donald, see him, say, Saul said I could get the hookup. I don't know what that means. You might not get shit, but hey, you never know. So I wanted to say that. And then also, happy Mother's Day one more time ever there to everybody out there. And before you say bye-bye, Luca Ho.
Bye.